Please open with me the New Testament, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Let's hear the precious word of God. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth, the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that if it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. May God bless his inerrant word. Dear beloved in the Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord, communion of saints is a significant part of church life and the very great manifestation of the body of Christ. We experience the importance of such communion when we are separated by COVID-19, when we experience that we cannot come to the church building in person, and we start to see the importance of communion. When we meet with each other, we talk. We share our thoughts about God, about the Word of God, about you and me, about what happened in your life. We encourage one another, and such communication increases understanding of God and enhances the love among brothers and sisters. We often use our tongues to encourage, to edify and build up. But we may also use our tongues to tear down others. If a good use of our tongues is compared as planting tree seeds and watering them, the bad and evil use of our tongue can be compared as a fire set on the forest. This fire is from hell. Tongues can divide close friends, even destroy a church. If you see a fire in a church, in a school, in a city, or in a country, you are likely to see that tongues have played important roles in the midst of it. You and I, our church, our school, our community, cannot afford fire, for its destruction is destructive power from hell. This is very serious business, which is related with each one of us. God wrote in a very limited space of 2 stone tablets with his own finger the 9th commandment. It is regarding our use of our tongue and about our neighbor. The neighbor, the word, appears in 9th commandment. God knows the devil and has law and order in place for God's people. I will read the 9th commandment and Heidelberg Lord's Day 43 regarding this commandment. You can keep this Lord's Day open as I go through more details about this Lord's Day. 9th commandment by the finger of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Question 112. What is required in the 9th commandment? Answer, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter, nor slanderer, and that I do not judge, nor join condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and in all other dealings, I love the truth. Speak it uprightly and confess it. Also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. This is my proposition. The ninth commandment forbids harming others by speaking lies, and commands loving others by speaking truth. Christ enables us to keep this commandment. The title is The Ninth Commandment: Tongue, Truth, and Love. First, what it forbids. Second, what it commands. And third, applications in Christ. What it forbids. It forbids bearing false witness against your neighbor. This is in a court setting before a judge. You must not speak falsely against your neighbor. Proverbs 19, verse 5 says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." A false witness is so wicked that this sin cannot go unpunished. He cannot escape even if he flees. The scripture gives terrible account of false witness cases. Naboth was falsely accused by two men, and he was stoned to death. Jesus Christ was surrounded by many false witnesses. And Paul was falsely witnessed a couple of times. There are two elements in the false witness against thy neighbor. One is the tongue speaking lies. The other is the heart that does not care about this neighbor, even hate this neighbor. This lying tongue is powered by the hating heart. This is a blatant sin and must be forbidden. The ninth commandment forbids false witnessing, but also forbids what it says in the Heidelberg Catechism. But before I move on to talk about other forbidden things, some of you may puzzle and think, ninth commandment is very clear. It just bear not false witness against thy neighbor, period. Why are we, or Heidelberg Catechism, or Westminster, add so many things to this commandment? Jesus, the lawgiver, explains the seventh commandment with a broader sense. He says, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." This is in the context that he's explaining the law of God, explaining about the seventh commandment, and he interprets this way. So Jesus includes in the seventh commandment the thoughts and heart related. Adultery is one of the worst blatant sins in that category. And that category includes the thoughts and motives, words, causes, means, consequences, and different manifestations of the root of this sin. That's why you see some more are included. But one condition to be included in the Heidelberg Catechism or in the Westminster Standards is that it must have biblical proof to be included to avoid human additions and human inventions, try to put human things into this category. The nice forbids also falsifying any man's words. This is twisting and manipulating one's words so that the original meaning or intention is changed, and often end up with the person who is quoted looked bad. The serpent in the paradise played around the word of God in such a way that it hints that God had a bad motive with this that commandment. Sometimes we hear someone said, he said this or he said that. We need to be very cautious. Men's words have context, have intentions, have tones and emphasis. If we are faithful to that neighbor, we take these words, we handle these words very carefully. We take all the elements of intention, the context, tone, and everything into consideration before we pass on about the word of this person. If we are not truthfully taking care of that person's words, we are not loving this person. You are not faithful to him. Students often have assignments to have write a book review, and many times you have to summarize the author's ideas and then you give critique. In one of my classes at PRTS, our professor asked each one of us to give a critique about a book, and he says to us that, imagine that author, the real author, just sits with us. Be truthful in representing his ideas, and also be kind to the person. Falsifying one's words shows at least carelessness about that person. I do not care so much about whether that person has meant it or not. I use it for my purpose. This commandment also bans backbiting and slandering. Backbiting is speaking badly behind the back, and slandering is consciously, intentionally give a false report. Are you being slandered? Backbiting includes gossiping. Were you ever being gossiped? Jesus Christ, he was terribly slandered. People say he deceives people. He is the truth himself. Some people say he has a devil. And some say he casts out demons by the power of the devil. He was described just opposite of what he is. terribly, terribly slandered. This commandment tells us not to judge, nor join in condemning anyway rashly or unheard. In a court, you have to give a due procedure to hear all the related parties to give witness, to be heard, and not to judge in a rashly, even though it may seem very obvious and many people are demanding a very fast judgment. No. It takes years to give a heard and unrash judgment. Judging and condemning rashly or unheard do not give time and do not show love to reveal the full truth. Children, are you being judged sometimes rashly and unheard? Jesus was judged rashly. When he healed a person on Sabbath day, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath law. And Jesus says that, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment means right judging according to the law. Jesus healed a person who is sick for 38 years and longed to be healed at the side of a pool called Bethesda. Jesus breaks the law on appearance, but actually he fulfills the law by showing great love to this person. Do not judge on appearance. What you are judging may be actually opposite of you have judged. You see appearance, but God knows all. Do not judge and do not condemn. We can easily pass a judge when we see someone breaks the law. We need not to judge rashly or unheard. Maybe this person is doing more righteous thing than you think. Sometimes we think bad of some people. When we see something, when we hear something, we quickly pass a judgment, especially when that person does not meet your standard of righteousness, your standard of piety. Then you have some kind of judgment, maybe. Are you judging rashly or unheard? Do you give that person an opportunity to explain? Or you do not need explain? Within a split of second, you have judged. Are you judging rashly or unheard? Where do all sorts of lies and deceit come from? They are proper works of the devil. Children, if you are asked to give characteristics of the devil, what we will say. He is called deceiver, right? But there's one more. Not only deceives. John 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." This one is murderer and liar. Examining all these forbidden things, we can see that there's one common thread among them. That is, no respect for the truth and no respect of the neighbor. Love is lost. Truth is trampled upon. And this is exactly the work of the devil. And he speaks through your tongue and my tongue. God forbids, but at the same time, he commands. What it commands? It commands us to love the truth and speak it uprightly and confess it in judgment in all other dealings. Rejoice in the truth. We should love the truth, be willing to hear the truth. We are willing to put off any mindset or any previous opinions about certain people or certain things. We listen carefully. Maybe this person has a new truth that I'm not aware of, and I'm ready to submit to this new truth. When the truth is found, we confess it, even though it may prove that we are wrong. When we have the truth, we speak it right uprightly, even though that may cause trouble to us. But however, what does truth mean? Is that referred to a fact, reality, or conformity of reality, or even more? A biblical dictionary surveys all the uses of this truth in the Old Testament and New Testament, and find that this word truth is more than veracity, conformity to the fact. It is an attribute of God. It embodies faithfulness and reliability. Numbers 23, verse 19, among a dozen of other biblical verses, says, I am not a man that lieth. And then in contrast, he says, I have said, and how can I not do it? I have spoken it. How can I not make it good? So in contrast to lie, God is speaking that he is truth, and in explaining his truth, he said, I am the person who is faithful, who is reliable. That's why Jesus says, thy word is truth. Thy word is very reliable. Thy promise is just like reality, or even more than reality. Reality comes, proceeds out of the Word of God. Reality seems true, facts seem very real, but they are made by Jesus and for Jesus, and they are reflector of this truth, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the truth. While the world and the scientists believe in truth and facts, they do not believe the source of this truth, who is Jesus. By Jesus, the truth himself, everything comes out. Do you love the truth? You look for truth in election or in storytelling. Do you love the truth? All the truth you find around you are like the reflected light on the Lake Michigan. There are many truths here and there, but they all reflect the light of the sun. Can you love all these truths around yourself, and you seek all these truths, but reject the truth of Jesus Christ? You admit the lights on the lake water is true, but you neglect or reject to admit that there is the sun behind it. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is faithful, reliable. If you make decision, you have to make decision as facts, because that is reliable, isn't it? But Jesus Christ is reliable. He is so faithful that no things can compare with him. God says in Genesis 3:15 that a seed of woman will come and his heel will be bruised. God says that in Isaiah 53 that this servant of God will bear iniquity of many, and he will be very quiet. And then faithful Jesus, according to this word of God, who is the truth, he came to be born. He came to be slandered. He came to the Gethsemane with great trouble, with his sweat like blood. He is faithful because he cannot be unfaithful. He came to fulfill this promise, and that promise 6,000 years ago must come to reality. And he fulfills it. No matter how trembling he is, he will not retreat, because he is the truth. He is the faithful. Do you love the truth? Can you find anything more faithful than Jesus Christ? love the truth. Jesus says to you even now, believe in the truth. You may have some reasons that I cannot believe. You know that without Holy Spirit, you cannot believe and love the truth. But Jesus Christ knows that without Holy Spirit, you cannot believe. But he still commands you to believe. Can you use the Holy Word of God, the holy reasoning of God, to disobey God? When Jesus said the parable that he prepared a feast, as a kingly feast, to ask people to come, and people make excuses. I have married a wife and I cannot go. This is lawful reason. You can make lawful reason, even biblical reason, that because I do not have Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit has not stirred up me. But this holy reason, lawful reason, biblical reason, seems not valid in this parable. And this king was angry. Love the truth, or you are now loving the lies. And God is commanding you to love him, to snatch you from your way to the darkness. And you can continue to use holy reasons to remain in the darkness while the King of Kings is commanding as well as inviting to love the truth. It indicates that you are loving the lies. Ninth commandment commands love the truth, and also commands defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. Name is, let me read Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. The name is so important. God's name is almost equal to God. And man's name is similar. If a person's name, reputation is destroyed, this person have no ground to exist in this circle. If you really care about your neighbor, you care about this ground, this name. When you talk about another person, your tongue is moving. And that name of that person is at risk. Jesus promoted our names. The Satan accused us daily. But this great truth under the love is advocate day and night when we sin. He cares about you and me, your name, your salvation. He not only cares about your name, he cares about your whole person. He's willing to go up on the cross. He's willing to drip his blood to cleanse you. Not only your name be kept, your whole person, your whole thing is purified, and he's willing. And you are Jesus Christ's neighbor. He took human nature. He wants to be your brother. And he takes your name, your person, very, very seriously. And he obeyed all righteousness and put that cloth of righteousness on you if you are a child of God. He really cares about you, cares about your name, your inside out. He will present you as beautiful, wrinkleless bride of Jesus. You have pure name, and your honor will be great. This is our brother, our neighbor, the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ. Are you willing to promote others' name? Whenever you speak about other person, Jesus Christ is ready there to be advocate. The ninth commandment forbids and commands. Now we need to keep this commandment. This keeping is very difficult because it involves tongue. James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. This is mission impossible. But for man, impossible. For Christ, not. God not only put law and order in place about the tongue, Christ himself is ready to enable you to keep this crucial commandment. Ephesians 4:15 has one sentence which is very close to this ninth commandment. Speak truth in love. Christ is ready to use his word and use his power in you to accomplish this commandment in you. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make its increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And a few verses more in 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Both passages link speaking the truth with body image of Christ. Why is that? If we look at the context, verses 11 to 14 tells us that God uses the ministry of the Word of God through pastors and teachers to grow the church, especially in the firm doctrine of the knowledge of Christ. And this growth is based on pastors and teachers teaching the unity in faith and also the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How to grow a church? Preach Christ. Because this is body of Christ. However, this is not all. Preaching Christ only is not all. These verses 15 and 16 start to talk about speak truth in love. Speak truth in love is another way that Christ grows his church. We come to worship today not only to hear the word of God. We come here to speak truth in love. And we grow both by the word of Christ and, importantly, speaking truth in love. Communion of saints in love. Edifying one another in love. For such important means of growth, Christ, the head, transforms and empowers each body member to speak truth in love. Each member is joined together fitly, according to the measure that part is given, and use pastors and teachers. So it's two ways, in a small scale, two ways. Pastor and teachers is giving the word of God, and brothers and sisters are speaking truth in love, and this body start to grow. And each one is a body member of Christ. And each one has old man and new man in Ephesians 4. An old man has a character of deceitful lust. This lust hate your neighbor. This lust loves lie. It is in the body, within you and me. And Jesus says, speak truth in love. And then he says, put off the old man and put on the new man, because you have so learned of Christ, because you know him. So by the word of God, speak truth and at the same time put off and put on the new man, which is righteousness and true holiness. Let's imagine this is body of Jesus Christ. And we are one part of that body. And each member, each one of us is also a part of this small body. And each one has old man and has a tongue that can set a fire. And when this tongue sets a fire, it spreads quickly. Well, Jesus Christ is using the speaking of the truth to grow this body. And here, someone will spread a rumor or slander or gossip that quickly spreads. And then speaking in truth is used in this part to grow, but this part stop growing. When you are speaking evil of another person, you are hurting that person, because that person is fitly joined with Christ and functions, supplies what the body needs according to the matter of Christ. That person has a unique function designed by Jesus, and that function malfunctions. And if this rumor spreads, other things, other people will not function. And this part of the body will not function. And this person hurt, that person hurt. And this body cannot grow, including yourself. You cannot grow separate from the body. As John Calvin comments on this verse, do you take delight that other person fail? Do you want to speak something about other people which you will not speak to that person when he is present? This kind of thing, you may take pleasure, but this hurt that person, the body of Jesus, the head of Jesus, and including yourself. You got no benefit at all. You set the fire and you will be burned as well. This is the body of Christ. And Jesus rules by the preaching of the word. And as the believers learned of Christ, they start to function, speaking truth in love. And the lies and tongues are trying to cut this link away, to stop the growth of the body of Christ. Are you part of that? Is this your old man? And are you at the wrath of God, if not repenting? James Bickey, in his book Doctrine, recalls the story of a new minister who found the shocking reality of gossiping and slandering in a church where he was called to serve. He called a special meeting and asked each one of the congregation to sign an agreement with the following content. I agree to not share an evil account of one member of our church with another unless I have, first, spoken to the person involved directly myself. Second, spoken of several of the person's good qualities first. If I fail to follow this agreement, I will phone that person spoken about directly to inform him and apologize to him. Do you know the truth without talking directly to that person? Do you love that person you are talking about? And do you cherish the relationship of body members? You can't say, I don't need you. You are in my way. It is Christ's wisdom to put that person around you to do a special function that no other persons can do. And do you affirm and cherish such God-ordained relationship between you and that person? In summary, the ninth commandment forbids harming others by lying tongue and commands loving others by speaking truth. And Christ enables us to keep this commandment. If we have one thing that is in ourselves that is very dangerous, that is tongue. If our church or our community has fire, we know that it is because of the tongues. Devil desires to destroy our church and our community. And the tongues have to take part in that. Whenever you speak about another person, be very cautious. That person's reputation is at risk. Even worse, a small spark of fire may be set. What penalty or guilty a person will receive if he sets a fire on a building? What penalty or guilt a person will receive if he sets a fire on the church, on the saints of God, on the body of Christ? If you see a small fire passed on to you in your group, you can be a fire extinguisher showered by the truth and love. This is what your head is. He is the truth. He is the love who died for the person you are talking about. Your speaking the truth in love will play even greater role than this fire does. And speaking truth in love is the one of the two means used by Christ to grow his church. Ninth commandment is to love the truth and love your neighbor with your tongue. No man can tame the tongue, but Christ can. Amen. Our truth and love, the source, we pray that thou might use the word of God to shower us daily thy truth and love. May the power of the head flow into its body, member of Christ, will receive this truth and love. Lord, may the old man of lie and hatred be put away daily, that thy church may grow, that the kingdom of devil will shrink, and hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bless this church. Bless this school. Bless this community. And bless the church of Christ. And let thy church walk in truth and in love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.